Hello, hello, hello. What is up, everybody? This is your boy AB back again with another episode. If you're listening to this, we are officially in the new year. Happy New Year, guys. I hope you guys have a very brilliant year ahead, unlike the 2020, which got just diluted with all kinds of bullshittery surrounding it. I hope everyone's year this year is going to be bright and let's say powerful year to make up from the last year. Let's say everyone's year is going to be the best year ahead. Hopefully so. At least the second half of the year will be good, because the COVID thing is still lingering around here and there, and it's just sad, isn't it? Hopefully this year gets better and better and better and better and better, like that. For this episode, let's go into something a bit dark, go into something which is a bit gloomy and what do you say, depressed, I would say. Depressing tones, I would say, mainly because last year we were so bright, looking forward for the year, and it just went shit from there. So this time, if we do it the other way around, maybe it gets better. So this particular episode, it could likely be more related to murders, killings, psychopathic nature, and all that stuff. So let's jump right ahead. Before we delve in deeply into our topic, there's a test online to rate yourself of how much of a psychopath you are. So I'm just going to take this test and get you guys also along that way, so we can have a little bit of test ourselves to see in what level of psychopath we are. I'm pretty sure I would be rated highly in this particular particular thing, I would assume. It has been said, like, about 1% of the entire population has psychopathic nature to them, even though they have, when they are showing you the smiley face and the good nature and all that stuff, they still have that psychopathic nature to them. So let's see if myself have that kind of tendencies. I surely hope not. So this has been rated, this particular test has been rated out of you have to they'll ask you a series of questions, and you'll have to rate between 0 and 2. 0 means, like, that particular thing doesn't apply to me. 1 means it somewhat applies, and 2 is definitely it applies. So I hopefully you guys can join me too. I'll just read out the question so you guys can also rate yourself between 0 and 2. Do you exhibit glib and superficial charm? Glib, the meaning of glib is being able to talk smoothly but in insecure, insincere when you're doing it. Well, I believe most of the people have this kind of exhibit the superficial charm or the glib, I would assume. Because I wouldn't say I've talked smoothly, as I clearly, as you can hear, I don't talk smoothly at all. I talk brokenly, but in a very insincere way. It's just that, like, people just tend to side with me, I would say. I'll just give it as 1, not a 2, not a big thing, but 1 is a pretty good score for that. Next question is, let's move on to the next question, please. So The next question. Oh my God. Yeah. Do you have a grandiose estimation of yourself? So that means basically, like, about to do with how much of a ego a person has or how they view themselves. I don't view myself as a big person, so I'm gonna give it as a zero. Third question. Do you have a constant need for stimulation? Yeah, I would say one. Next question. Are you a pathological liar? Okay, what do you exactly consider as a pathological liar? Is it's a bit, it could be taken as a negative sense, I would say. Relating to pathology involves pathological, the meaning, I'm just looking at pathological meaning. Pathological, sorry. Involving or caused by a physical mental disease. Yeah, I don't want to give myself a two, but it would be like everyone lies, though, and it's not just like I lie upon lie upon lie. Yeah, I'm gonna give myself a one, I would say. Two is a bit harsh if I have to rate myself, but the thing is, like, everyone lies. It's a part and parcel of a human being, I would say. So how, like, my favorite time to lie is, when you get in an Uber or talk to someone you don't know, and you are for sure certain that you are not going to cross paths with that person ever again in your life. And that particular moment, I just gets, I get a hold of this spirit, I would say, from a random person, where I'd say, yeah, to them, like, yeah, I'm married, I have two kids, it's very hard to take care of them and all that stuff. or I would just make myself in a very weird spot, in the sense, like, just tell them, like, yes, I am from South Africa, I just came over here for my studies or whatever, and I just speak in random things on the phone, so they that know that I'm from somewhere else and not from that particular this particular area. I'm pretty sure everyone does this. If no one does this, I'm just made a fool of myself. yeah, I would give this question a one. It's not a huge question to rate as, but yeah, I would just give it as a one. Right, next question. Are you a cunning and manipulative? Are you cunning and manipulative? Yes, I would say yes. In the sense, like, I at my job, especially, like, I make sure things are going according to what I want, as in, if there is a deadline, I want it to be done, like, 1 week well in advance to get it done, and I would make sure others around me who is working on that particular project is also following the same path. So I would say, like, this is serious, like, this is have to be done, and I've talked to these people and arranged all these things, and, like, let us get this out well in advance. So if you call that manipulative, like, you are manipulating the situation to yourself to ease yourself a huge gap to maneuver with, that is also being manipulative. So I would say that is manipulative. Cunning, yeah, you can add cunning to it. Like, I'm just not gonna be honest over here. I'm not like that every time, but yeah, like I said, like, to get things done at the office and stuff like that, like, I am that person. I know why I am like that, but So yeah, I am generally a manipulative person, when it comes to that question. And cunning, I would not say I am, but manipulative, yes. So I'm gonna give myself a 2 in that. Next question, if you can move on, bro, please, man, come on. Do you have a lack of remorse or guilt? Nah. Do you lack a remorse of guilt? Nah. Zero, I would say. I don't lack any remorse or guilt. I immediately get things like I immediately feel guilty of doing anything. Even the manipulative things I said earlier. Yeah, I immediately feel guilty after I've done it. In the sense, I'll put pressure on someone else and they would be also busy, but I'm manipulating them. After that, I would be like, thank you for getting this done, or sorry to just barge on you like that, but I had to get this done. It's like I feel a lot guilty at that point of time. Do you have a shallow effect on people? Seventh question. In the sense, do I have an emotion? The thing with this question is a bit tricky though. The thing is, I don't care about people's feeling that much, but the thing is, I always cry. I'm a very, very empathetic. Not, I wouldn't say even empathetic, because I have a thing in my system or my body that, if I see someone crying, I immediately cry. And if I see someone having some kind of emotion, let it be laughter, like I said, crying or any kind of emotion, my body would just turn into this thing where it, automatically takes over, my body. I feel empathetic like that. Not because I want to, not because I want to laugh, or not because I want to cry. My body just takes over like that. So, but in my heart, I know that I'm faking this, or I'm not doing it genuinely. But at the same time, I do have emotions. I'm not a robot, so I would mark myself as one for that, I would say. Eight. Are you callous? And do you lack empathy? Like I just told. I think these two questions are too similar. I'll give it one for this as well. And let's just move on to the next one. Do you have a parasitic lifestyle? No. No, that's the least of what I am. I'm the least of a parasite, you would say. Like, I don't want anyone's help ever. Like, I'm the last person to ask for help from anyone, I would say. Like, I always, I ask for favors, but that is in turn of something that I do for you. So, I do, if you do something for me, it's like a rule kind of thing. Like, I have to do something for you, even just treating you or something like that. So, yeah, I don't have a parasitic lifestyle. The next question, is it hard for you to restrain yourself? Well, is it hard for me to restrain myself, huh? I would give it as a one for that as well. I'm not, how would I say this? I am short-tempered, but not short-tempered at the same time. In the sense, I don't just burst out into anger. The anger I have is seething anger. It's like I just block you off, that kind of an anger. Are you sexually promiscuous? No. That's the last thing I am. Holy shit, man. It feels so bad, at least this year. Let it be better. I don't want to be promiscuous or whatever, but at least, better than what I am right now. Where you out of control, where you an out of control little kid. I would say two. Yes, I was an auto control kid. I don't know. I was for some reason, but I'm a lot better right now. Do you lack realistic long-term goals? Not, no. Nah. So over the reason why I'm saying like no, is because I can see on the screen like in the long-term goals it's been like list the sexiest man on earth, the person wants to be, or this per the psychopathic person would like to be the ruler of the world or some kind. Like no, I don't want to do all that. I just want to have a happy life with a good partner next to me, I would say. That's it. 14th question. Are you overly impulsive? Huh? Yes, I would assume. Yes, I am. I am overly impulsive. Are you irresponsible? I can be. I can be irresponsible. So, yeah, that question I'm going to mark it as one. Let's move on. Do you fail to accept responsibility to your action? Nah, that's a zero for me. The first person who takes up responsibility at work, or if anything goes wrong, it's like, yep, I hold my hands up. I'm that kind of a person. Have you had many short-term material, marital relationships? Material? Pfft, marital relationships. I'm not even married, so I'm gonna mark it as a zero for that. what else? 18th question. Go on, man. Do you have a history of juvenile delinquency? I was an out of control kid, but I was never held up for a look. I never caught. I was never caught by police, so that also zero. I'm very interested to see what they tell I am, you know. do you keep getting yourself in trouble even after you said you wouldn't do that thing again? I would say, yeah, I don't know, to be honest. This is like, I have a tendency to do things even if I go wrong and something, but it's not a big thing, you know? Okay, I'm gonna mark it as one. Let's move on. Question 20. Do you display criminal versatility? Versatility. Versatility. Okay. Do you display criminal versatility? No, I'm not a criminal mind. I'm the law-abiding citizen. Very true to myself. So yeah, I'm gonna add up the score though. That was 20 questions. I'm gonna add up my score now and see where I rank in their rankings, the test person's ranking. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wait, I lost count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12. I have a solid 12 score out of 20. Let's see where that ranks me as. Okay, so the results are in zero. If you get zero in this test, it means that you have no psychopathic behavior. Less than six means you are normal in some way or form. Interesting. Interesting. So I have psychopathic behavior? What the fuck? Oh. More than six. It. Okay. So 16 to 22. They didn't say. Okay. If you have less than six. Less than six or equal to six or like neurotypical or normal. And I got 12. What does that put me in? What the hell? Okay, I think I'm normal. Or like bo I'm borderline. Yeah, okay. So I'm borderline antisocial. Okay. Yeah, I would I can give. Yeah, I would say that I am. 16 to 22 is if someone scores who are listening to this course between 16 to 22 is non-psychopathic people with antisocial personality disorder may have criminal record. 30 to 42 if someone scores that within the psychopathic field, and 40 is prototypical psychopath. So if anyone is over 30, do not follow us. Oh my God. I can't believe I'm saying that. Like, but you know what? Just lock yourself up somewhere and, don't talk to anyone ever again, and just exist like that. Because you are most likely to kill someone. Anyways, so that was a test. Now coming into the real reason I wanted to do this test was the Change My View question from Reddit, which I read, and it was, I don't today I'm gonna review this post. So someone called as Eden simply posted this question where he said, I don't think being a psychopath or egocentric is inherently bad. That's a question, yeah. And he has a description. I'll just read it out. So, as I established, I'm not a psychopathic person. So let's just move on to this post now. So I don't think again, I don't think a person being psychopath or egocentric is inherently bad. And there is a description which says, a lot of people seem to think that being psychopath equals being a bad person and being detrimental to their communities. I'm saying psychopaths, but I mean both of them and egocentric people. As a psychopath is inherently egocentric, and my argument works for both. But that's not true. Sure, they might not care about your feelings, but they can be helpful. Main reason of this is being selfish, is the selfish argument of altruism. Oh, now why I'm defining people that I don't that don't care probably don't care about me. I have a passion for debate. I just love it. But moving on, people usually say they have no feelings and they could murder someone out of the blue. Now they do have feelings. You're confusing that with empathy, and they could murder someone, but so could you. But you know there would be a consequence, as in would feel remorse and would probably be arrested for. Psychopath is the same, minus the remorse. Common argument for the two are those people are going to turn are already criminals. Well, if they do, it's for the same reasons regular people would. I would love to hear your opinion on this and maybe change my view. This is really fun. Thanks for the comment, guys. Okay. All right. This argument, what he or she has raised over here, holds up again from last week. I kind of agree with this, in the sense, like, as we looked in the test, also there can be people who have been ranked higher in the higher tiers, but not generally being classed as your stereotypical psychopath. That could be true, because not everyone life is a similar way. Like, everyone has their own takes in their life, and it is upon them to realize, like, what they're if they're doing something is right or wrong. One of the commenters just commented that the problem is when a psychopath or a egocentric person stops playing by the rules. These are the statistically likely to break these rules. Okay, yeah, that's the counter argument for the post earlier. Is that, like, the psychopathic person, a psychopathic person or an egocentric person is more likely to break the laws than a normal person would. Society has by and large decided that if you want to eat, you pay the cook some money. A normal person thinks the cook is helping me and deserves to be compensated. An egocentric person thinks, fuck, I'm hungry, going to jail is more expensive and than giving the cook. Oh, okay. All right. cook $10. All right, okay. I know what they're trying to mean. So an egocentric or a psychopathic person thinks in their brain in that way, where, like, they don't want to pay the cook $10. Instead, it would be cheaper for them to go to a hospital and just pay over there, so they can just get free food from there rather than paying their way out. Okay, I get that right now. If one person starts stabbing the cook, then the cook starts stabbing back, and then soon the thief stops stabbing because the cook might stab first. Eventually, the system reaches equilibrium, and everyone is stabbing, and no one is the cook. But it's again fair. Okay. If the government had a perfect police, being a psychopath wouldn't be a problem. But police are fallible, and police are expensive. It is cheaper and easier if the rules are clear and everyone follows them. If there are no psychopaths, the cooks can focus on cooking and not being stabbed, even if the cops are watching nearby. Okay, yeah. I kind of understand that point, in the sense, like, the reason why people or the communities look down to psychopaths is because of these reasons. Okay, and another comment just says that psychopathy isn't what you think it is. Psychopaths are self-centered and pure at empathy, and they don't tend to feel remorse. But the main thing distinguishing them from their impulsiveness is psychopaths tend to end up in jail. They don't tend to end up running big companies. It's not an adaptive trait. It's something that leads you to attack a person for a minor stupid reason and then not to know should try to cover it up your tracks about it. Okay. Yeah. I can see both the sides, actually. Like, the initial commenter saying, like, they shouldn't be looked down upon and whatever. In the sense, like, I can see where he's coming from, that person is coming from, because from what he is doing is, like, he's trying to normalize them as a people and getting them the relevant attention. And the commentators over here are trying to make cases for the extreme versions. Sure, there are, both sides to being a psychopath. I would assume it is. Like, you can be impulsive, but not, break any rules per se. Like, you are self-conscious or whatever. So I don't think, as it said, like, I don't think it's a big problem of being a psychopath. It's just, you have to control yourself. You have to make sure that you are in check. And again, regarding that score we took earlier, regarding the test we took earlier, like, you could score, easily score, like, borderline 40 or like borderline 30 or in the high 30s or 40, but you can still have a conscious brain. You can feel remorse and you can feel empathy. It's just, it depends upon that person, that particular person. It doesn't really have to be, one way of seeing things, I would say. There's a bit of a debate. I've read this thing, like, there's a bit of a debate between leading criminologists, whether the psychopaths are charged more harsh criminally than a normal person. I read about this guy called, like, this dude from somewhere in China or Japan, I'm not sure. So his surname is Hede, and he did a ride along with the police officer and assessed the people being apprehended as psychopathic or sane. But Hide found that the police were charging those that had been diagnosed with psychopathy for more often than those seen to be sane. And like, the lack of feelings is a part of the psychopathy checklist revised by Hare. And the original commentator may have to, may have to look through what he has, maybe even a bit more, because he the original commentator over here clearly is talking about the very, very low end of a psychopathy scale, and not other than that. So both the arguments holds up, but both the base of their arguments are two separate things. If you're talking about psychopathy as in real psychopathy, then I would say normally people talk about the extreme version and not the mild version like the original commentator has. I actually watched that Ted Bundy documentary, even that movie with Zac Efron. It's a brilliant movie, by the way. And his point of reasoning of how his mind was working was insane. It's so much insane. Even in that movie called The Seven, like how there is no kind of feeling, there's no kind of empathy for anyone. Even Ted Bundy, like he said, he used to love this one chick. I don't remember where he, at what state. I think it's Washington, right? Yeah, I think it's Washington. And he had this wife figure or girlfriend, I don't know, like who was in Washington, and there was like, even though he constantly said like he loved her, there was no love. It was clearly he was clearly using her for things, and doing his stuff across this thing, like so he can portray himself to be a normal guy in front of others by having a girlfriend. And yeah, it's a brilliant insight, or a brilliant documentary to check it out. So if you have a chance to check out related to psychopaths in the past, like and documentaries related to that, Ted Bundy is a good start, I would say. From that topic, let us go into the next one, which happened over the Christmas, which was an Italian man was allegedly slashes children's throats during Christmas visit. Again, this is closely related to the psychopathic topic. This guy is apparently a holistic and a Zen trainer, and he went to his kid's place, or reunited with his family, and he decided to slash his kid's throat. Francisca, who is aged 15, and Pietro, aged 13. Very sad story, man. It's like, this guy was a carpenter, former carpenter, who didn't have much business during COVID, so he decided to become a Zen trainer and a masseuse, and all of a sudden decided to slash his kids because there was some problems in his family. Fucking, oh my God, I hate this guy. You have to see him, man. Why would you? Why? His name is Alessandro Pontin, aged 49, in the town of Treblescia. This is insane. The story. Oh my God, that just put me over the board when I just first initially, read the story. Yeah. Okay. From that story, let us move on to the next part. I would say, the sneakers app. Right. Yeah. And I'm so gassed for this release as well. The Kobe's Pro Green Apple, which is releasing. I've been so So, in love with the Grinch shoe, which the Kobe scored against the Miami Heat. Oh my God, on the Christmas Day, he just smacked around LeBron and his team. I know LeBron is in Laker now, and I supported the Lakers. So, it's a bit contradictory at this point. But the thing is, like, you know, I used to love Kobe, like, and that particular game in 2010, on Christmas Day 2010, when Kobe was against the big three of the Miami Heat. It was insane. And he wore that shoe. And ever since that day, I wanted this shoe so bad, you know. And it's releasing finally in India. The Grinch. And look at that. Just look at that. The scaly figure of it. The entire zoom feature, which has been implemented right now. And the underneath the shoe, which is in a honeycomb format, that alone is just insane. And there's this black stripe across the underneath of the shoe. Yeah, this shoe, like, you know, I'm getting this shoe one way or the other. It's like, you know, 16,000 here in India, 16,000 rupees, and the reselling would go up to 25, 28, I guess. But I'm getting this shoe some way or the other, because I want this shoe so bad. I know spending that much amount of money for a shoe is insane, but let's see if it's too high. Like, I will wait for it to the price to be dropped again and then purchase it. But right now I want it. I'm trying my level best to get this as well. Again, another thing, the movie of the week is Looks That Kill, again relating to the psychopathic topic. So this entire episode has been related to, you know, psychopaths, you know, how certain psychopathics, you know, being perceived. And you know, we saw read about this real life psychopath, which fucking guy, like, you know, I hate him already. Like, you know, he committed murder himself, so at least I hope he burns in hell. Anyways, going to the movie of the week is Looks That Kill. Yes, that again is related to some psychopathic thing, you would assume, but it's a comedy romance film. It's a very wholesome movie. It's just that the plot of the movie is, like, you know, this guy is born with this face where anyone except his parents see his face, they're gonna die. Oh yes, his face is so handsome that anyone except outside his parents view him, they're gonna die. And it's a very funny movie. It's got that underlying humor to it. And this is being starred by Brandon Flynn, Julia Goldani, King Hong Lee, Annie Mum. Momolo. So yeah, this is a very wholesome movie. It's got a good rating as well for Rotten Tomatoes, about 90%, which I agree with. For once, I would say with Rotten Tomatoes, is a brilliant movie. If you have a movie to watch over this weekend, this is the movie that you want to watch. It has got that Christmassy vibe also to it. The actress in this movie, Julia Goldani, she is insane. She's beautiful as hell, and she's insane as hell. Her acting is some different level in this movie, man. I haven't seen her other works. I would say, like, you know, other works are pretty obscure works that she has. She's been starring in Slender Man, The Wind, The Affair. TV series called The Affair. Oh, she's been in with the Nosy Jack, the Soprano, Mrs. Sopranos series. Okay, interesting. Yeah, so she's a brilliant actor. Even the actor Brandon Flynn, even though he doesn't show his face or anything, it's just like that. Like, you know, he just his mannerisms alone just adds a bit of gravitas to this movie, and just pulls you in completely, you know, to making this movie a brilliant thing. Anyways, I would give this a 8 out of 10. I really enjoyed this. You know what? I'm gonna go higher, 8.5. It goes straight into my loved collection of movies that I love, and I absolutely love this movie, The Looks That Kill. Check it out if you guys have a chance to see it, view it during your holidays, and I guess we can close out this episode. Do like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. Go follow us on Spotify, every other podcast section, things in this app, apps in this world, Google Podcast, your Apple Music, your Pocket Cast, everything. Go over there, give us a like. Go to Instagram, follow us over there as well. And this particular episode is actually being filmed before the new year, so for the next month or so, everything will be pre-recorded. Everything that you hear is going to be pre-recorded because I'm going away, but I still want to give you guys these episodes on weekly basis. So I'm going to put in some work for the next couple of days to give out the next co record the next couple of episodes so that I can leave it out to you guys for the next month. But as of right now, Happy New Year's, guys. Happy 2021. Hope you guys have a brilliant year ahead, and peace.